Witam serdecznie po przerwie. Kolejną prezentację przygotował pan Rainer Beder. Jego prezentacja, jego tytuł prezentacji brzmi: czy bezpieczny voice over IP jest lepszy?
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. I give a short overview about Fortinet. I don't know who knows anything about Fortinet, and then I will go into some details about voice over IP security. Okay, I have only one slide about Fortinet. Most likely, you have seen or heard anything about Fortinet. We are one of the four leaders in the security domain among the big players. So we have, I think the important thing is 1,250 employees, more 750 engineers. So we are really a technical, dedicated company. We have a whole bunch of products, and one of them is, or let's say an application is dedicated to the voice over IP security market. Okay, anything about the history here about voice over IP security or voice over IP networks? I don't know if you have, if you know these guys? Yeah, so as you see, packetized voice is already quite old, because these guys have already invented packetized voice. You see how they communicate via such a kind of a telephone. And all of a sudden, somebody is jumping out. This is a gateway, and that guy has a so-called voice activity detection. That's a packet length, how much he can remember. And then he has to jump out, and there's, of course, a significant delay in terms of transmitting the information. Of course, you see that guy is a bit faster. This one is a lost packet. And this is a jitter. Yeah, and this is really a lost packet, and you see the corresponding parameters. Okay, maybe something new, or not new. This is dated a Gartner study from 2004. It's almost 6 years, more than 6 years now old, and it's called the Cyber Warfare. It's about voice over IP and convergence networks, and there's already something stated that in 1995, The Major General Wang Pufeng of the Chinese Army has published a paper about voice over IP and cyber warfare. Interestingly, because when I was reading this study in 2004, voice over IP was in a starting phase, and everybody would be happy if it would have worked stable instead of attacking these kind of networks on a global level. Now, in the meantime, we see that sometimes networks are attacked. There was a conflict between Russia and Georgia. Georgia was shut down for a while from the Russian business network. You see, this is really something that is going on. And people could switch off your network if you don't take care. A recent news from the FBI, I think from this summer, somewhere dated in June, July, as far as I remember, and there's a warning about telephony DOS. So there is a massive amount of call setup, a suspected automatic dialing. And they have seen it in various networks, that people are just be called by thousands and millions of calls in a network. So even the FBI is taking care now. And then there is, more or less in the same time frame, there was something going on with Amazon. There was a big SIP brute force attack coming, that some providers claiming that they have seen 6 gigabit of voice IP traffic. This was a DOS attack. So that was more traffic than they can handle as a normal base. And they just have seen it as an overload with DOS attacks. That's a whole bunch. That's really
just signaling.
No, this is yes. This was just signaling. There was no because there was no bearer at the end. I have more details about that. The interesting thing is that these operators, these providers, were calling Amazon to say this is abuse and you have to stop that. And Amazon was saying sorry, somebody paid for this cloud computing resources. We cannot do anything. This is not our issue.
They used the source of Amazon, but it was like spoofing.
That wasn't spoofing, that was just a DOS attack. They use the Amazon Cloud Computing resource. Somebody found a credit card, bought Amazon Cloud Computing resources, load a SIP engine on it, and started it. And Amazon said, sorry, we cannot do anything because that guy paid for it. And he can do whatever he wants. Some clever guys, well, let's say, hunting these packets, these malicious packets, and you see how they look like. And there was one thing that was always as a constant in all these calls. You see only registers. Some invites, no cancel, no buys, no RTP, just some invites, or just invites. And they've seen that also always this compute-1.amazonavs.com. This was the only constant in all these calls. So some smart and clever admins provided some tools, I wrote some scripts, that they were always checking these SIP packets coming from Amazon if this pattern is inside. So that means there is a constant, and this is a kind of a signature. So then they have to buy millions of or thousands of switches or servers, processing computing power, to hunt for this pattern. Of course, that was overwhelming the business case, and they are by far not making any money out of that. So this is a constant, this is a signature, and if you would have something that could help you in, or that provides you a possibility to bring in somewhere a signature, you can block out lots of traffic. For example, this is something that we have done in one of the biggest voice over IP networks that is around. This is, I think it's the largest European telco provider with the largest voice over IP network that they have today, and they're using our technology to protect the network. And they're using our firewalls with the SIP intrusion prevention to load in case they have something like this, with signatures. So we can handle gigabit of throughput with our signatures. For example, there was something happening that the soft switch of this network was crashing once he has seen the SIP proxy require header. He was just crashing down. So we were installing this signature, and whenever we have seen a SIP signature header, you're blocking the packet. Out of this attack, there was something else going on. There was as well, or let's say, there is a site where they collect all this information. It's called the VoIP Blacklist Project. And you see that there is a registration coming from Charlie, from Monkey, from Arsenal, from Thomas, from a number, thousands, hundreds of thousands of register attempts just to get somewhere in. Of course, this is overwhelming all your soft switches.
How about the passwords?
They don't care about, yes, they are sending as well passwords, and they are trying to find if they find a password. But this is crashing your soft switch, because your soft switch is processing all these messages. And therefore, they are using it as a blacklist. Once they see something like this, I think Telecom Italia, France Telecom, China Telecom, they all participate in this VoIP blacklist project. And they send all this information into this project, so sometimes they are just blacklisting then IP addresses, because they all come from the same IP address.
The blacklist is implemented on the soft switch or on the gateway before the soft switch?
Usually it should be implemented on the gateway before, because the soft switch is not designed to handle this amount of traffic. Okay, I don't know if you read German. Maybe you read something about German. This was a SPID attack, or another SPID, a spam attack in Germany more or less 2 years ago, where they make calls to all known IP addresses in Germany. They send invites on an hourly basis during the night. And you see the difference between spam and SPID. Spam is when you receive an email. It's asynchronous because you see spam only in the next morning when you start your mail client. SPID means it's synchronous, because if somebody sends you an invite message, your phone is ringing and you stand in your bed during the night. You see it, SPID is then renamed as spam. It's called now officially Rukus. And SPID is spam over internet telephony. Somebody could call you during the night or during the day and call you, tell you something, just use your resources. So the point is, why should it be different with voice over IP? Because you know that partly 80-90% out of your email traffic is spam. assume it would be the same with voice RIP in the future, that 80-90% is spit, that 9 out of 10 calls are advertisement or something else.
So I never realized that, but is it possible just to send invite to any IP address if there is a SIP client endpoint, so it will answer?
It depends on the configuration. For example, they are configured that they accept these calls.
They accept these calls. Because usually they should accept calls only from the soft switch, for example.
Depends if it's such a way configured. Ah. And not all of them work in such a way configured. You see SIPgate, and there was QSC, and there was some operators were claiming, no, we were not part of it, but there were millions of people who were called during the night.
I can imagine Germans waking up in the morning.
There was nobody quite happy. However, you see, for example, there are books around. This is for voice RIP hacking, for scripty kits. I have it electronically, and you can click on these things, download Nmap, and then you can scan it. It's very easy. And this is described on 250 pages, how to hack voice RIP. If somebody is buying this book for 42 euros, you can start hacking. There's another one, even more dedicated. I think this is 50 euros, 900 pages, starts with everything. There's lots of information inside about, let's say, it starts with, chapter one starts with Google hacking. If you want to attack somebody, like a bank, just watch out for job offering. If they look for Avaya experts, or most likely they have an Avaya PBX in their network. Malware on mobile phones. I don't know, who was this morning in the presentation of Marike? You have seen maybe lots of voice RIP of attacks, malware, hacking. And it's very easy because in the old phones, you only can make calls, receive calls, send an SMS, more or less nothing else. But these are small computers. This is not a handy, this is a small computer. You can hack them. They are jailbreaked. Well known. So that means you have a high-speed interface, USB, Bluetooth, VLAN, so you have internet on it, you can execute sometimes these attachments. It's very easy to break in. By the way, this is something where we are using as well a dedicated firewall that we have provided for the carrier market. I don't know, is anybody here from a carrier market, from a Telekom Polska? Because we have a dedicated firewall now built for SCTP. Anybody heard about
The firewall is located where?
The firewall
is located where? This is a software loaded.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have firewalls on these end phones, but we have these firewalls are then somewhere at a specific place in the network.
Most likely the GGSN.
Behind the GGSN. Of course, we have as well a GTP firewall, and we have as well a SCTP firewall.
So you also do the firewalling between SGSN and GGSN?
Exactly. So this is a GTP firewall.
It's like a transparent firewall, that would have to be.
It could be as well nothing, because whenever you have roaming between two operators, if you have an external SGSN and your own GGSN, you are using most likely a GTP firewall. And behind your GGSN, you have the GI firewall. Mm-hmm. And at this point, we are using then voice RIP, because with LTE, you have only voice RIP. There's no circuit switched voice anymore.
Everything goes over RIP.
So LTE will change, because LTE will come with such a bandwidth. It comes with voice RIP only, and it comes with these small computers for everybody. And then we have as well this SCTP firewall, because LTE at the end will run on most likely two protocols. One is called the SCTP, and the other one is a GTP protocol.
The SCTP in the wireless core?
In the wireless core, exactly. But as well, the mobile stations will transmit all their signaling with SCTP. But maybe we can have this discussion offline. I don't know if you can see that quite well. But this is something about the number of pages in different RFCs that are referring to the SIP standard. And you see how this is growing. That means it becomes quite complex. SIP is not a single protocol. SIP is a protocol that relates to 2,500 pages in different standards. So that means if you want to be aware of all this SIP stuff, you should read and understand all those 2,500 pages in standards. Or 1,200 on the other one here, depending on the signaling media or whatever. So SIP is extremely complex, and it's growing as well because they want to use it for IPTV, presence, messaging, everything in the future. If you are a smaller enterprise, not a carrier, you have to take care about different elements. You have Skype, you have SharePoint, presence servers, different operating systems, WANs, LANs, SIP trunking. You have IVRs, voicemails, an endless group of different use cases that you have to bring under one umbrella. And this is a complex scenario. Together with this complex SIP environment, it will be horrible. And then you have to bring that to the administrators, that it's administratable, that it's not too complex. It needs to be under one policy, and it must be secured at the end. And this is a complex scenario. What we from Fortinet are providing is this feature set. We have a so-called stateful SIP tracking. That means there's an expectation list. Whenever there's a call going on in SIP, it starts with a register. The next one is usually the invite. Then you have the 200 OK, the acknowledge, the ringing, the trying. And if something is not within the sequence, we block this message because then it looks like a DOS attack. We have a rate limitation, so that means we accept, depending on a VLAN, IP address, or whatever, we only accept, for example, or we can configure it, 200 SIP invites per second from this IP address, or 500 acknowledges from this IP address. So that means per SIP method, we can rate limit. So that means there will be no overload on your system. The firewall will protect you from the overload. Of course, there is a HA on it, so that means that we have a stable call preservation, so whenever a firewall, the link, the laser, the cable is breaking, we will not lose the calls. We have a SIP NAT, so that means we can nothing, or we can do the SIP NAT, as well in the SDP protocol, as well in the RTP. We can do as well the RTP pinholing, because we are learning through that message chain how we have to NAT and do the address translation. We have as well the SIP firewall in the transparent mode, so that means that we can transfer these SIP messages without any NATing, just in a transparent mode. We have a support of geographical redundancy. As well as a command control that you can block certain SIP methods, the methods that you don't like, that can be blocked. Because in a normal voice IP environment, you have most likely just 5, 6, 7 different SIP elements. But a publish, a refer, or the whatever option, the subscribe messages could be blocked if you don't allow, for example, presence or instant messaging. One of the most interesting things is the communication logging. So that means all SIP communications can be logged. This is quite helpful at the end if you have to do a forensic analysis. If something has happened in whatever case, you want to know why it has happened and how can I prevent it for how can I, let's say, take some counter actions for the next time, that I will be secure for the next time. Therefore, we can collect all SIP messages and bring it into the right sequence so that it's, at the end, understandable. Fortinet is providing hardware, so we are selling hardware. This is most likely due to the reason that we have our ASICs on it, the so-called 40 ASICs. In this way, we have a hardware acceleration. That means that we can provide gigabit throughput with voice IP. So we have 10 gig interfaces, and we can provide 10 gig voice IP switching on our blades. This is, for us, not a problem. So-called media inactivity, if you have a hanging RTP terminations, we can detect if we missed some SIP messages and RTP is still ongoing while the SIP call is already canceled. We can detect it and close and clean it up. We have everything ported onto IPv6 last year for a few carriers in North America. What we can do as well is a topology hiding that we are putting a NAT in between and the NAPT to manipulate the SIP, I'll say on IP and SIP level, in order to, let's say, don't get the or put the IP addresses in a public space. What we do as well is a deep SIP header inspection. So that means we are looking in all the SIP messages, analyzing the headers, the parameters, as the same with SDP. That comes together with a SIP fuzzing attacks. So there is a big chance that once you come into a fuzzing attack, that somebody is manipulating the SIP messages, not closing brackets, leaving out a comma where it needs to be a point, inverted commas, whatever. And we are detecting all those things and block if there's a malicious traffic. And of course, we have a hosted NAT traversal. So that means that we can clean up, let's say, if there's a NAT on IP level but not on a SIP level. We can analyze that and transform then the SIP information into the public IP address. So all this makes us more or less very similar to a session border controller. So from a function-wise, this is, I would say, 95% a session border controller. But you get it on a complete different price level, number one. Throughput, gigabit, you don't see that on a session border controller. And together what I've shown you before, the parameters and with the signatures, that you can block the signatures, makes it a very stable and a very powerful tool to protect your Wi-Fi IP infrastructure. Whether it's for access, for peering, for enterprises. It works in all cases. We have tested it and we have deployments in all cases, in enterprises, carriers, and access. On top, we have what we call VDOMs, virtual domains. So that means we have one physical hardware, and this physical hardware can be segmented into so-called virtual domains. So that means they share the hardware, they share the power supplies, they share the fans, but the rest is completely different. You see they have independent interfaces, independent route tables, state tables, proxy. They have independent IPS systems with different signatures in it. They can be configured completely independent. So that means you could configure per VDOM, a carrier, an enterprise, a segment of your network, whatever. Extremely flexible. This is a bit more detailed what I just described. Maybe this one. Unexpected DOS protection. So that means you see what's red is so-called bad traffic, traffic that you want to block, and the green one is a good traffic that you want to handle in your network. While in contradiction, you see this one is a more interesting one. You see good traffic, and you see as well on the right side good traffic. Maybe it's a bit small, but you have a maximum server load behind you. This is the soft switch load that you can handle at the end, and this one must be protected even with good traffic. Otherwise, good traffic will overwhelm you. For example, the American Idol could block or could crash a complete system if it's not rate limited. And these are the things that we can handle on our FortiGate firewall, that we can configure it in such a way that your end system, your soft switch, or the enterprise, the PBX, is never getting overloaded. Again, here the signature I've showed you before, rate limitation per SIP method, the SIP fuzzing, that we can detect all these different elements that are not according to the standards. So whenever something is wrongly configured or wrongly sent, we can detect it and block it. HA configuration, geographical redundancy comes together. But this is, of course, then dependent on your SIP soft switch, because every soft switch is having a different attitude in handling this one. There must be some dedicated analysis. Yeah, here again, the deep SIP header inspection that we analyze as well, not only the complete SIP header fields, as well we look into the SDP protocol and analyze if the parameters that are sent there according to the standards and can be understood by your end system. We have active and a transparent mode. Active mode means we are doing nothing, and the transparent mode is means we are not doing any nothing. Depends on if you have a new installation, most likely people use the active mode, while there's an existing installation ongoing and people don't want to change the IP address, we use the stealth mode or the transparent mode. Media handling and the IP network translation, we do a SIP NAT for the topology hiding. We can map it into an IP range for the media handling. We have a dedicated thing, for example, the 5 microsecond latency is very important for some of these broadcast stations. If they broadcast voice and video at the same time, different lengths, so we have to handle this that they both have the same latency and not arrive on at a different time. Different applications we can use just as a SIP signaling firewall, as shown on the left side, or together with our RTP pinholing. Both scenarios are possible, and I think I'm quite in time. Thank you.
Yes, you are. Thank you very much for your presentation. Natomiast panów zapraszam teraz na 10-minutową przerwę. Następny wykład odbędzie się o 15:30. Dziękuję bardzo.